Good morning. Is everybody awake? Good morning. Wow, I was looking up there and said, welcome, Ron Black. I was, who's that guy? Who's that guy? What is he doing here? Where's the pastor? He doesn't look like our pastor. You heard the scripture read earlier. It's from Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. We're going to talk about absolute today. If you look up absolute in the dictionary, it says the absence of imperfection. So when you apply that word to something like truth, it means that there is a perfect truth. Yes? I'm going to ask questions like, does that make sense? And you guys could say yes or no. You could do this, that, and I'll re-explain it. There will be a quiz at the end of this. Okay? So, you say there's a perfect truth, there's an absolute truth, okay? What does that mean? That means that's something that's true whether you believe it or not. Yes? When I was younger, I worked at an agency, and I always was vocal about Christ. And one guy rubbed the wrong way. His name's Patrick, and I was walking by Patrick's office, and he said, could you come in here for a minute? Ron, come in here for a minute. Whatever. So I walk into his office. Why are you always walking around here talking about Jesus? Well, why not? Well, I mean, that makes some people uncomfortable. Well, nobody said anything but you, Pat. Well, I don't believe in all that stuff. I said, well, I do. Well, why would you say things like people are going to hell? Because they are. People are going to hell. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, if you have not accepted him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to hell. He says, well, there's a problem with that. I said, well, what is it? He says, I don't believe in hell. That's not a problem. That's not a problem at all. Hell is an absolute truth. It's there whether you believe it or not. What I said was I turned my back to him while he sat at his desk, and he continued to talk to me. And I ignored him. Do you hear me talking to you? I said, I don't believe you're back there. Well, that's just stupid. I'm back here whether you, what? You're back there whether I believe you're back there or not. Hell is there whether you believe it's there or not. So you can leave here today and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and be on your way to heaven, which is an absolute truth, or you could leave here today and not know him by choice and be on your way to hell. But the choice is yours. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God is the absolute truth. Basic instructions before leaving earth, your Bible, absolute truth. Word of God. Where are you going with this, Ron? Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Jesus is baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan. He comes up out of the water. Anybody know what happened? Came up out of the water, and the heavens opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down in the form of a dove and rested on Jesus Christ. And then somebody said something. God. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I don't know how many of you have children here. Have you ever been at the soccer game or the basketball game and there's some confusion as to who your kid is? Hey, which one? Not for me here, because everybody knows who my kid is. It's kind of obvious. But hey, you're looking out there and the person sitting next to you and they're like, is that your kid? No, the one, you know. And then your son or your daughter does something miraculous, like they jump up out of the gym and just dunk the ball on everybody. Bam! That's my son. That's my daughter. There was some rumbling about whether John the Baptist might be the Messiah because he'd done so many great things. Then he's baptizing Jesus Christ, and the heavens opened up. And God said, that's the one. That's my son. And because it came out of the mouth of God, it is what? The absolute truth. So when you run across people that say, well, Jesus never said he was God. Well, God said he was. Bible says, let God be true and all men be liars. If you don't agree with what God says, you're a liar. I don't have a problem telling you that. As a matter of fact, I think it's fun. If you don't have it, if you don't believe what God says, that's your problem. You are a liar. When someone comes to you and says, Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven, you're a liar. Get out of my face. Stop entertaining stupidity and lies. Jesus Christ isn't the only way. Well, why did he say that? He says he is the way, the truth, the life. He didn't say, I am a way, a truth, and a life. I am the, which makes you a liar, leave. It's really that simple. Matthew chapter 4 says, then he was led up to the wilderness by, thank you, the Holy Spirit. You might want to get your Bibles out and show you can read. You don't want to trust me with your word or anybody else, because you're going to have to hold me accountable just as I will hold you accountable. He was led up to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. There he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights, and the Bible says something simple. It says after that, he was hungry. Then it says that the tempter came and said, if you're really the Son of God, do what? Come on. If you're really the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. Bible says something simple like, he was hungry after all that. Then the tempter comes up and says, turn these stones into bread. He already fasted 40 days, 40 nights. First thing that comes out of the devil's mouth is, if you are who you say you are. If you are who you say you are, do this. Remember when we said that God said that Jesus Christ was his son? It doesn't matter if I say who I am. I don't have to prove anything to you, because we just saw one verse ago that God said to everybody who I am. So you're in a position where you're tired, you're hungry, and the enemy comes to you and says, well, if you were really a Christian, you would be able to do this. It's challenging God. It's, you ever think about it this way? He says, turn the stones into bread. Moses went up on the mountain, Mount Sinai. He spoke with God, received the Ten Commandments, which are the laws of God. And God wrote those in stone. So the law of God is stone. Anybody had any dealings with bread? Some of y'all lying. You can knead it. You can cut it up and make it funny shapes. You can massage it into something. You can bake it until it's hard, and then you can open up and it'll still be soft on the inside. You don't even have to bake it. You could just knead the dough. Some people just eat that. I don't understand that, but some people do that. The difference between stone and bread is that you're not going to change stone like that. But bread you can massage into things that you want it to be. So in essence, the devil was saying, take the law of God and make it massageable. Make it something that we can change into what we want it to be. Set the example that this concrete isn't concrete anymore. Later on in the words, you hear Jesus say something like, I did not come here to change or do away with the law, but I came to fulfill it. That means he came to pay the debt. He didn't come to throw it away. He came to pay the debt. Anybody who's ever gone out to dinner and they sit down, they have their steak, they have their lobster, they have whatever, you've accumulated a debt. Yes. You cannot get up and leave until you have satisfied that debt. That is common occurrence. What Jesus is saying is that everybody has accumulated this debt. I didn't come to cancel out the debt. I just came to pay it. I didn't come to say that this debt never existed. I just came to fulfill it so you don't have to be subject to it anymore. So when the devil comes to meet him and he says, turn these stones into bread, he's saying, well, why don't you make something concrete, massageable? Jesus turns to him and said, no, because it's written that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Man will not live by bread alone, but man will live by the absolute truth. Man will live by the absolute truth. Does that make sense? What does the devil say back to him? He takes him out to this high place. He says, throw yourself off, because it is also written that he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands you will, somebody help me out, they will bear you up and you will not dash your foot against a stone. Right? Notice Jesus says, it is written. Then the devil says, well, it is also written. And then Jesus said, well, again, it is written. Do not put your Lord God to the test. Do not put your God to the test. It is written. It is written. It is also written. A lot of people, when they are in a period of tribulation, they say, well, I need a sign, God, that you're going to do what you said you were going to do. Standing in the bathroom, God, if you're really there, turn the water on. God, if you're really there, make somebody knock on the door 7 times. I need a sign, God, I need a sign. Here's your sign. The things that he wrote here, the things that he said here, it's proof enough that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. The children of Israel were in the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes didn't wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out. God changed the weather so that the skies opened up and it rained bread. You know, who's ever seen that since then? Nobody. Can you imagine how people would drive in that? You know, but he's done miraculous things to prove himself that he is a dependable God. He is going to make things work out. Whether you believe it or not, he is still God. So the Bible says, don't test him with trivial things. Don't bother God with the proof of himself. He's already proven who he is. He's already proven that he's going to take care of his people. You just sit back. Be faithful and be obedient. Jesus does not submit to the devil. He says, so the devil tries again. He says, he takes him over. He shows him all the things of the world. He says, all these things I will give to you if you will just bow down and worship me. And Jesus said, get out of here. Get out of here. You know, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Because the God that we serve is a jealous God. He doesn't want you entertaining other things or other people or other gods. Worship only him. Then the Bible says that the devil left. It says that the devil left. It says that angels came and ministered to him, to Jesus. The funny thing goes on in that. It is written, it is written, it is written, it is written, it is written. It's passage of scripture in John. I think it's the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, and the Word was with God. That nothing was made without the Word. Right? Funny thing about that is if who is the Word? Jesus. Even to the point where if you take the Word out and put Jesus in, you'll see in the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God. Jesus was God. Nothing was made without Jesus. So when you come to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, and the devil says, it is written, who is he talking to? You're trying to tell me who I am? Really? And we all love when people do that. You don't know me. Nobody's ever said that. You don't know me. And he was very patient because he didn't tell him to get out until the end. Get out. That would have been the first thing. You better get out of here. You better get out of my face. You don't know me. But he said, oh, well, Jesus said, no, because I know. I am. I'm the Word. So I'm going to tell you what's going on. Okay, I said that, you know, we're not going to live by bread alone, but by the absolute truth. Well, you also said, here's you out of context. That's what the devil likes to do. Here's you out of context. Here's you when you were in the club. Here's you when you were in the bar. Here's you when you were doing things you had no business doing. Here's you when you were over here with the spotlight shining on you. Remember that? Remember that? That was you. That was you. And the saved you is like, was the past. Here, that's me out of context. And me out of context is wrong. But when Jesus says, it is also written, this is what the law is, this is what the truth is, he brings things back into perspective. What am I trying to get you to understand? I'm trying to get you to understand that it's not good enough for you to just know who you are. You have to know who you are in Christ. You have to know who this Word says you are. You have to know that. Because if you don't, you'll be the victim of you out of context. The devil will always be able to send his demons to pull you out of context and convince you that you are someone else, that you are not worth this, that you cannot have this, that there's no way that this thing that was meant for you. You'll be subject to the lie. Does that make sense? So Jesus could stand because he knew who he was. He could comment and stand because he knew, I am the Word. You're taking me to show me these things and trying to convince me to bow down to you for something that already belongs to me. Something that's already promised to me. Something that I helped make. That's not going to work. And so many times we fall victim to that. We take shortcuts. God has us in a period of tribulation. He has us going through a trial because he wants to refine us. And as soon as we see the first opening, we take a shortcut. Some of y'all are sitting in here beside a shortcut that you took. Some of you are sitting here looking across the room at shortcuts. Some of you are going to get up and go to a shortcut tomorrow because God had something planned that was greater for your life and that you couldn't wait, and you jumped into your shortcut. God wants what's best for us. When we go through trials, when we go through periods of tribulation, He is trying to refine us. He's proving Himself that He's always going to be there. He is always going to bring us out of these things. We have to understand who we are in the Word. Who decides whether you're saved? Salvation comes when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to come into your life, make Him Lord of your life. That's when salvation comes. Believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life. The Bible talks about the book of life. It says that everybody's name is written in it. Some people's names are going to get blotted out. That means it's going to be crossed out to the point where you won't even be able to tell what was actually there before. When you talk about books, you talk about knowledge. Talk about knowledge, you talk about things that people know. Only God knows what's in the book of life. So that's the knowledge of God. An agreement is made between you and God when it comes to salvation. So only you and God know if you're saved. And when God opens up the book of life and speaks His truth, the absolute truth about your salvation, that makes all people around you that say you're not liars. So the reality of the situation is some of us sit in a situation where we refuse to minister, we're afraid to minister, we don't go and do what we're called to do because we're worried about what people around us are going to think. They saw me doing this. They heard me saying that I was going the wrong way. And so many people saw, so there's no way I can continue to do this. But the reality of the situation is just like I said. Your salvation is an agreement between you and God. And when you stand to do what God has called you to do, everybody else will be a liar. God can use all of us. God will use all of us if we make ourselves available. It's really that simple. So if you're sitting here and you've made an agreement with God, you've asked Christ to be your Savior, you've made Him Lord of your life, what are you supposed to be doing? Well, the Bible says specifically go. It says go and make disciples of everybody. Go and make disciples of everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe the things that I have taught you. And it says, and I'll be with you even until the end of the world. It's really that simple. Go, tell somebody. Tell somebody, then tell somebody else. If you've never done that, if you've never started a relationship with Jesus Christ, and what are you supposed to do? Start one. Remember when you were a kid and you were sitting in class, you're supposed to be paying attention, but you weren't. And there was that girl or that guy across the way that you liked. So you pulled out your notebook paper that was meant for notes, and you wrote that classic, "Do you like me? Yes, box, or no, box." And if you were desperate like me, you put P.S. Please check yes. Then you folded it up, and you passed it across the room, and you waited, and then it got to the girl with the thick glasses, and she was like, and you were like, then they passed it over and over and over and got to the little girl. And she opened it up and she looked. She looked over at you. And she starts writing. Well, she must really care because she's writing. And all she had to do was check. She's writing. And then she checks. Oh, there's another message. I begged. I pleaded. It's good. So she folds it back up, starts to pass it back across. Your friend gets it. He starts to open it. You punch him, snatch it, open the thing up. She made her own box. Maybe. Check maybe. Can you begin a relationship on maybe? It has to be yes or yes. Because if it's anything other than yes, you're a stalker. You ask someone to marry you and they say no, and you still consider yourself married to that person, you need guidance, help, counsel. But when you ask someone to spend the rest of their life with you and they say yes, that is a commitment. So in order for you to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only thing you have to do is check yes. See, this is the love letter that he sent. He said, in the beginning, we did all these things. We created the world for you. We made a way for you to be great. And even in spite of yourselves, in spite of messing up, in spite of falling all the time and being clumsy, we made another way for you to still be in fellowship with us. We made a way. We continue to make ways for you to be in fellowship with us. And then, on Calvary, he said, do you love me? Yes or no? When he stretched his arms, he said, it is finished. And that was his P.S. Please check yes. So today, having signed the letter in blood, he's folded it, he's passed it to each of you. He said, please check yes. Do you love me, yes or no? Will you accept me as your Lord and Savior, yes or no? Please check yes. Please check yes. How do I check wrong? How do I check yes? I often say to people, the difference between heaven and hell is as simple as praying a prayer. It really is. The way that you say yes to Christ is you just pray a prayer, admitting that you are a sinner. Everyone in here has committed sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. All means all. So everybody has committed sin. So you pray and you admit that you're a sinner. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. You acknowledge that he's really sent his son, just like we discussed in Matthew 3:16 and 17. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. So he did that. And you acknowledge that he did that for you. You acknowledge that he died on the cross for your sins. I know that you gave your son on the cross for my sins. I know you did that so that I could have a chance at everlasting life. You say, Lord, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. The difference between heaven and hell is as simple as praying a prayer. Believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life, praying a simple prayer, inviting him to do so, and then backing up and letting him in.